Hey guys, welcome to episode 36 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I'm again joined by the interview queen, Alicia Atout. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today I'm joined by the interview queen, Alicia Atout. So how are you doing today?
I am doing really well, all things considered, with everything going on in the world right now, but I'm hanging in there. How have you been? It's been a minute since I've been on.
The last time we talked, I believe, was October. So yeah, it's been about 6-7 months, but you've done a lot since then, which we'll get into today. But firstly, I'm curious to know, how is this shutdown situation there in Canada?
Yeah, so it's very similar to what I've been hearing from friends in the States. Pretty much you're advised to stay home. If you want to leave your house to get some fresh air, it's just, you know, go for a walk around the park. You're not allowed to really stay in one spot for too long, or even like our parks have caution tape around them and everything. So it's a, they're definitely taking it to an extreme, but I feel like it's an extreme we need to take in order to conquer this whole thing. So you know, we're just being really safe up here. Grocery stores, they have everything on the ground where we have to stay 2 meters away from one another. You can only go one way up each aisle. So they're really taking a lot of precautions up here. But we're all just hoping that because we're being so cautious up here, we'll be able to beat this thing even quicker.
Yeah, very similar to here in New York, at least where I'm from, upstate New York. It's very, very similar. We're supposed to reopen in, well, on track to reopen in 2 weeks slowly, but we'll see.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, hopefully, like I mentioned, sooner than later, things will slowly start going back to normal. I know that's completely wishful thinking, but you kind of have to stay positive with all this stuff going on. So,
absolutely. And obviously, with all this time you've had at home, you've been able to create this catching up series with a lot of wrestling and music stars. And I've seen you do multiple interviews a day. But what's actually the most number of interviews you've had in a day?
Yeah, so the catching up with series, I started, I don't know, it was weird timing. I started it like a month and a half before COVID-19 really started just unfortunately, like taking over. And so once everything started happening, I was like, well, I guess I can't have my bookings and interview people in person. I just started doing, like you mentioned, all these interviews in a day. So yeah, it's been a lot. A lot of the time I'll have like 4 to 5, but the most I've ever done, that's tricky. Because sometimes I'll go to like a pop punk show and interview like 7 bands, but the most I ever did was I was interviewing on the red carpet at the Alternative Press Music Awards in Cleveland, and I interviewed, I think it was by the end of the day, 26 people.
Oh my gosh.
Fans, musicians, like solo artists, and yeah, there was, I think, between like 26 to 28 different interviews, each of them being maybe like 4 minutes minimum, because it was like a red carpet in and out type thing. But still, it was a lot of research. The amount of papers and memory that I needed for that day was it was intense.
I know. And speaking of research, I'm curious to know, because I have my own method of preparing for interviews, but is there a certain way you research or way you get your info, so on the talent you're interviewing?
So I just like referring to myself as a professional stalker when it comes to my interviews, because I will go as far back as like 3 years through someone's Twitter or Instagram just to find those little nuggets of gold where it's a hobby or a pet that they love or just a movie or something random where I'm like, oh my gosh, they like that. We could totally talk about that. So yeah, I just stalk the people I interview, and then luckily I normally get some really good questions that shock them on the other end. So
I try to do the same thing too. I try to emulate myself after you, after hearing about that. So I kind of do the same thing, but I'm glad that you call it professionally stalking, so I feel less bad about it.
It's weird because I'll be looking through someone's page and I'm like, if this was a normal person digging this far back, like that would just be weird. So I'm like, at least I have the excuse that it's all research, guys. It's just research.
We promise.
Promise.
And also in your videos, I've noticed you kind of have this cool collage wall of quotes in your background of your videos. And one of the cool images says, "Don't let idiots ruin your day." So tell me, in this day and age of the internet and social media, how do you stay focused and block out those idiots and losers?
Honestly, it's hard because they're everywhere, but you really just see them pop up and I either mute them or just ignore them. The odd time, maybe like once or twice a month, I'll quote retweet it because I'm feeling a little angsty or mad that day, and I'll let my fans jump on them and kind of, you know, tear them down for me. But most of the time, if I see an idiotic message or something like that, I just let it slide because their opinions really mean nothing to me. It's the people that support me that I actually care what they think. So, you know, just don't let the idiots ruin your day.
Has it taken you a while? Because I know me and you have discussed this like in private about being more confident in yourself and not letting them ruin your day. But how did you get to that point where you don't care what they think and you're just more comfortable in your own skin?
I think once you realize, like, hey, certain people have hired me to do a job. These people have had confidence in me. I've interviewed over, like, 4,000 people in a set amount of years. It's not an ego thing per se, but I think the confidence just comes with trial and error and then realizing, you know what you're doing at this point. So if someone is critiquing you, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about, or there's no way she could like wrestling, or just, you know, the comments that we get, especially being chicks half the time, like I still get that kind of crap. So I think at this point I just have realized like they're wrong. I've worked with the biggest people in this industry.
Yes, you have.
And it's not a bragging right, it's more so just it is an awesome confidence booster. And it's one of those things too where it makes you think, if they think negatively of you, you have all these people that think positively, so their opinions really just don't matter.
Well, that's true. And another quote on your wall reads, "Stay badass." So when or where do you feel your most badass or in your element?
Honestly, when I have like a medal interview or I'm interviewing someone I love in wrestling and I'm wearing like a leather jacket or you dress up for the event or you're just with somebody that you really like, that's when I feel most badass because I'm confident. I know that I have my shit down when it comes to research. You know, yeah, you look the part and you're ready to rock and roll. Or even like with the, the recent MLW tapings.
Yes.
Like, I just show up. I know that I'm going to knock it out. I know I'm working with professionals. And like, you just have this badass feeling where you're like, all right, let's conquer the day and rock it out.
Absolutely. Now, switching gears here, speaking of professional stalking, I know you, whenever you travel, you try to hit up those Five Belows whenever you travel.
Yes. Oh my God. I love how you know that.
I'm intrigued to know if you have any unique trinkets or favorite items while you've purchased there.
Oh my God, I just love Five Below with a passion. The fact that you can buy so much crap for so little is the best thing ever. And Canada, please, right? We need them. Oh, we need them. I bought this really cool pair of earrings from them. They're just little A initials. They're like little dangly earrings. I think they were like $3. And I know if these were to sell at like an Urban Outfitters or something, they would have been like 20, 25. So, you know, I love those. I bought a lot of makeup from there, actually, like a lot of makeup, and it all works just as well as the stuff I've spent like $60 for a palette. I can get a $5 palette for Five Below. Their makeup's freaking shiznit. Like, it's awesome. So that's cool. What else have I bought as far as trinkets go? Man, there's so many over the last like 2 years. I don't know. I'm sure more will come to me throughout. Oh, I have like a couple posters and stuff from them as well that were like $3. Koozies. Oh, I have some really cool koozies.
Yes.
I love koozies. I have like 20 of them now. So you got to keep those drinks cold, you know?
True.
So those are some of my favorite things. It's hard to narrow it down because there are so many, but those are a couple.
Now, also with traveling, with this whole world on lockdown, I'm sure we've all been dreaming of some vacation destination. So once we all get out, tell me, where is your dream vacation destination?
Oh my gosh, my girlfriends and I were talking about this the other day, like 2 days ago. We're like, when this all ends, we need to just take a trip. And even though we've literally been like, it's kind of like a vacation not having to work, but I'm still working, if that makes sense. So we were saying like, we just love a trip to... like, we want to go to the UK one day, and I really want to still go to Hawaii. Like, that's been a dream of mine for a while. So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens after all of this, but I'm totally down for a vacation.
That makes sense. Since you're a flower child, Hawaii would be great for you.
Right. That would be fun. I'd have to hula. That would be amazing. Just a little hula on the beach, eat some. They do those, like, I forget what they're called actually, but those underground, like pigs that they bake and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I totally forgot what they're called. I know the phrase, but whatever. Of course, it doesn't come to me now, but oh my gosh, I'd love to do something like that because I love food and I love dancing.
Ooh, I actually was going to ask you about dancing later, but we'll do it now. Are you actually, like, really good at dancing? I don't think I've seen you dance except on TikTok, but are you, like, a natural dancer at all?
Not at all. The only reason I love dancing, like, not at all. The only reason I love it is because growing up, we'd always listen to music during dinner. We'd listen to music just hanging around the house, like, was constantly playing. And there'd be a point where we'd finish eating our food and everyone would kind of like chill on the couch or someone would go on the computer and like it was all in the living room and music would still be playing and I'd just start dancing to make people laugh and because it was good cardio and so I would just start dancing like a moron and then I'd literally next thing you know like an hour would go by and I'd still be dancing so I've just always loved it. I'm not good at it, but it's so enjoyable. So when TikTok came around, I was like, I'm never getting one of these things. This app's so stupid. Like, why are people, everyone thinks they can freaking dance on this thing. Like, it's so dumb. And I was like, you know what? I'm seeing all these people on here trying to dance. And I was like, I know I can do this decently. So why not try? So I almost like do it as a joke because I know that I'm not great at it. And you can definitely tell in my video.
You've entered the dark hole of TikTok. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But the thing is, so many people take it seriously and they're like, oh, I'm so hot. Like, just watch me do this or watch me do that. And I literally have a video I'm going to be posting soon where it's like, I'm just singing to Tenacious D as a devil. And it's like the dumbest thing in the world. So I think there's like two ways to take it. And I'm definitely not taking it the serious hot way. That's for sure.
Girl, you're always hot. Shut up.
I don't agree, but thanks.
Now, also with this free time at home, I've seen you post a lot of your singing videos, which you can brag about because you are very good at singing. But is that something you've like seriously considered pursuing at all?
Yeah, growing up, I loved it. I was in tons of talent shows and I took vocal class in school. And I've always loved singing. It kind of goes hand in hand with always having music played around the house since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've just always loved it. Growing up, I wanted to be like a mini Hayley Williams from Paramore. And yes. I just constantly wanted to perform. And then it got to the point where I started interviewing musicians. And then it just kind of like changed. I was never in a band. I never really like sang with people per se. Except rock band. But, you know, it was just one of those things where it was fun for me. So I've never phased out of it. And now having the platform I have, it's like you never know who's watching. I've had, you know, because I dress a certain way, I've had companies send me stuff. And because I post certain things, so I was like, you never know who's going to watch me singing out there and be like, yeah, we can use her for something. So one, it's fun for me. Two, you never know what opportunities it'll lead to. And my fans seem to really enjoy it. So I kind of thought to myself, why not continue just singing online? You know?
That's right, Miss 50K.
Yeah, psych. Thank you for being one of those 50.
Of course. It's been 2.5 years now, almost 3 years, which is crazy.
That's nuts. That means so much to me. I've had a lot of people reaching out saying, yeah, I've been following you since this or since this. And it just blows, like, it blows my mind. It means a crazy amount to me. So thank you.
You're welcome. But also the other day, speaking of your Instagram, I saw you post your pop star look, which totally rocks. So if you were to go on tour, who would be your opening artists?
Oh, man. I've always wanted to, like, perform with the Spice Girls. So maybe they could open for me. And can you imagine the Spice Girls opening for me? How ridiculous. And then during my set, they could come out and we could sing a bunch of stuff together.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
So I think that would be pretty cool.
Ooh. Now, do you have any go-to karaoke songs?
It's actually Wannabe by Spice Girls.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep, okay. It is that song. I love that song so much. And yeah, every time it comes on, it just gets me super happy. So there'd be that. And then probably like a Sheryl Crow song, even though a lot of the boxes don't have Sheryl Crow. If they did, I would rock some of her stuff out.
Which one in particular?
Ooh, okay. I mean, if it makes you happy is good, but it's a little bit like sad, so I don't know if I'd go with that one. Ooh, my favorite mistake's also really slow, but man, her voice in that track is absolutely incredible. So I'd probably do that, but if I was in like a good mood, it would be some Soak Up the Sun. We could have a sing-along. I think that would be awesome.
Just quick side story. It's funny that you bring up Sheryl Crow because we did a talent show back when I was in elementary school and I sang The First Cut Is the Deepest by Sheryl Crow. So I
Oh,
think
so
that's funny
cool.
that you bring that up.
That's so funny. Yeah, she's awesome. She has an incredible voice, like way too good. So yeah, I love her.
Now, obviously, like you've stated before, you're obviously all about DIY, do it yourself, but I'm interested to know what has been your biggest or most difficult DIY project you've done?
Oh gosh. I mean, like my site as a whole, honestly. That's probably the biggest undertaking I've ever done, just starting this whole thing from scratch. I was so young, so nervous, and now seeing what it's turned into, still DIY. Like up in Canada, when you do a lot of arts and creative stuff, you can have government funding behind you. And I've never sought that out. Everything's been completely my money for the cameras and everything. So I'm really just so proud of that. So I'd have to say, like, the site and then the fact still being DIY and that leading to the other opportunities that I've had, like, that's been really cool for me. So I'd probably have to go with just this the whole my job in general.
Fair enough. Now, speaking of doing it yourself, I've also seen you recently working out at home since all the gyms are closed, obviously. So, how have you been pushing yourself?
Yeah, I've never been to a gym. Isn't that funny?
Neither have I, except unless you count the gym in high school, but yeah, same.
Right. Yeah, the high school gym, or if I have like a show and there's a gym there and I'm like beside it, but nope, I've never been to a gym. It's been hard. My parents started working out, then my sister started, and I was like, ah, shit, I guess I have to start. So it's been difficult because I haven't really done much with this body as far as working out since high school. So it's been hard, but I have a really good support group here, and they're like, you know what? Just like keep pushing yourself. Once we come out of quarantine, like you're gonna look great. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, let's just keep kind of trying to get in that mindset and not quit on it. So I've been in there every other day, working different body parts and just trying to feel good about it. And it's been really difficult because it hurts, especially when you're not used to moving your body at all. Like my job's sitting, and then I'm sitting on a plane. And then I get there and I'm standing all day, but it's not like I'm like doing, for promos and stuff, you're standing and, there's a lot of tons of walking and all that stuff, but it's not like I'm doing anything physical. So yeah, it's been a lot to get used to, but I'm really enjoying it. So hopefully it gets easier.
What does your daily workout routine look like? Just a little glimpse into what you're actually doing.
Yeah, so it totally depends on the day because sometimes it'll be certain parts, but I recently started doing full body workouts. So like yesterday I did one where I did Swiss bar, bench press, lat pull downs, cable squats. Like we have a leg curl machine here, easy bar curl, straight bar push down, and then like dumbbell calf raises. And sometimes I shock myself with like the amount of weight I can lift. And then sometimes I'm like, damn, I'm a baby. Like my arms are so weak, but my legs are so strong. So like it really bothers me when I can't like knock out arm exercises as well. But hey, I'm gonna keep trying, and one day I'll be able to lift as much as my sister.
That just means you got strong thighs, okay? Nothing to be ashamed about on that.
No, I definitely do. That's something that there's no hiding it. You can just look at You can just look at me and know that's the case.
Okay, now let's actually talk some wrestling. So I know obviously independent promotions are kind of on a hiatus right now. So I'm interested to know what has been the most memorable show or moment in independent wrestling that you've been a part of live?
That's tricky. Okay, well, there was one point where I did Double or Nothing and I had a promo with Kylie Rae, and when that aired, like, first I was on the screen and then she was. And when I aired, I was in the back getting my makeup done, and like the crowd popped so loud and I was so excited. And then when she came out, they were like crazy too. So it was such a cool thing to be a part of. And then MLW, for me, and I know both of these have to do with me, but I think it's because I never thought that like people would cheer when I came out or anything. So we were doing tapings in Philly and I had three live promos in front of the crowd, and we had such a hot crowd that night. We always do. It's awesome. And I come out and like I get an Alicia chant like every time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the most surreal thing ever. And the coolest part is like I'll come out, and then the people I'm doing a promo with, my friends will come out, and then like they're cheering for them. And it's just a really surreal thing when you realize, well, we're all a part of this really, really cool company, and you know, they like cheering us on, like supporting us. It's really cool. So those were two moments that I was a part of where I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
You deserve those chants.
Thank you. It was really cool for me.
Now, is there a certain match stipulation that you've particularly enjoyed just for the way it's structured?
Match stipulations. I mean, I think no disqualifications are always interesting because they normally go super out of hand and crazy, but at the same time I always hate the way that no DQs end because it's always like a screw job or it's always an interference or something like that. So I love the idea of it, but I never really like how it's executed, which is a really weird juxtaposition that makes no sense. But you know, I like the concept, I just normally don't like the way it ends. So the whole time I'm like psyched, I'm like, oh, this is badass, bring out the trash cans, bring out this, and then the way it ends I'm like, oh, that's great.
So you need to book one of these matches yourself.
Right, that's exactly it. And then I can figure out how it's going to end.
There you go. Now, as the interview queen, I know you want to chat with another queen, Miss Charlotte Flair. So can you tell me more about what draws you to her?
I just think she is incredible when it comes to wrestling, and I know that's such an obvious thing, but she's just so naturally gifted and talented. And then when you put a mic in front of her, it's not like she's one of those people that can only wrestle, like she can actually speak, and yes, she's fluent, and there's something so strong about her. And she also has that quick wit that I feel like a lot of people don't have in wrestling, and she's just so fast when it comes to replying to opponents or knocking out a promo that you can tell is like less scripted and more improv. So yeah, I've just, ever since she kind of came on the scene, I've just been like, this chick is so cool. And I just think it'd be really awesome having her on the show because one, fans would lose their minds. And I think we'd have a really, really awesome conversation. So yeah, maybe one day, you never know.
Well, I was going to ask you, is there any chance we can actually see her appearing on your show?
I mean, nothing's been set up as of yet, but I don't think it's out of question. Like over the last, when was it? Maybe the last like 2 weeks, and I haven't announced some of these yet, but over the last 2 weeks, I've done interviews with everybody from Renee Young to Zaya Brookside, Nina Samuels. I had Killian Dane on the other day, Mark Marrow. I had Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett. And then a couple days ago, actually, I had Jon Moxley on. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that fans know yet. So I'm super excited, and I don't think anything now is out of question. Like, if you have high goals, best case scenario, you reach them. Worst case scenario, they're on hold, you know? So I don't think anything's out of question. Maybe one day we'll come queen to queen. That's kind of what I'm hoping.
All right. We better get it one day. Now, lastly, because it's something you've been fighting all year, I have to ask, when do you think you will finally defeat that stupid 6-second challenge?
Ooh, I hate that damn challenge. I hate it. I'm like either coming super close or I don't come close at all. I absolutely despise
that. The other day.
Oh, I hate it. Like the other day, I literally blinked before the counter even started. Like, how does that happen? So yeah, I'm never giving up until they delete that damn app off my phone or filter whatever. I'm going to try like once a day, and I will probably continue failing. But the day I do beat it is going to be victorious for not just me, but everyone who's been on this 6-second journey with me.
I know, it's been like since the beginning of the year in the making. Oh my gosh.
It's so bad. Like, how do you suck that much at a game?
I don't know, girl.
I try.
And now, before I let you go, can you please let the listeners know where they can find you on all your socials?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys just search Alicia Toot on the interwebs, you will find my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and my YouTube channel, along with my website, which has my merch store. And there's just a bunch of interviews and vlogs and everything is on there. So you'll just have to type my name up and you'll find everything. I love talking with fans online. I love seeing their ideas and reactions to stuff. It's really a blast for me. So yeah, say hey, give me a follow. Let's hang out online during all of this craziness going on.
And just a quick side note, who's been making your t-shirt designs? Because they're really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, so there's this dude that I met actually when I hosted the Bullet Club block party last year. And he did the design for the foiled shirts that we had. So his name's Rich Baker, and he's Rich Baker Draws on Twitter. And his stuff, he literally just hit me up with that like Kiss lightning bolt design. He's like, hey, I know you're a huge Kiss fan. What do you think about this? And I was like, dude, I'm running it. Like, all right, I'm mailing the shirt dude now, and we're going to make this happen. So yeah, we're collaborating on a bunch of shirts. He is super easy to work with. And I think that every design we create, fans are going to really dig. So yeah.
A toot sweet.
Yeah, that was actually done. Funny enough, eh? So that one was actually done by another fan who reached out to me. And his name is Vincent, and his stuff, he was just like messing around. He's like, I'd really love this to be a shirt. And I was like, can we collaborate together? And so we ended up making a toot sweet shirt, and it's just awesome. So I'm really happy with that one too. And that one I actually just mailed my dude who does my shirts. I just sent him an email. I was like, hey, can we get these going too? So yeah, those are in the works now. I'm really excited.
I'm excited for you. Thank you so much again for chatting, Alicia. Round two was really fun.
Thank you so much for having me on, for the awesome questions, for, you know, channeling my inner stalker to yourself. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much.
So that about concludes this episode of A Wrestling Gal, but again, it was such a pleasure chatting with the interview queen herself, Alicia. She definitely brings a new and interesting thought and conversation to the pro wrestling business that truly inspires me, and she's definitely one of the reasons that I finally decided to get myself into podcasting and kind of into journalism as well. So thank you to Alicia for inspiring me. I definitely aspire to follow along in your path. So I hope you guys check out her music blog. Yeah, she is so awesome. She has a lot of awesome merch and a lot of awesome interviews, especially during this quarantine time. Her catching up series is awesome. There's so many amazing guests. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and also have been enjoying my guests that I've had a lot on during this quarantine time. It's been a lot of fun chatting with a lot of stars. And also, if you haven't already seen it, I started my own website that I'm super excited about. And I also started my own blog on my website. So check out awrestlinggal.com for more exclusive content and blogging. And my whole podcast is attached to it. And you can also reach me for inquiries there. So thanks again for listening, guys, and I hope you enjoyed. So until next time, stay tuned.